Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Can you believe we made it? It's Friday, right here on BotMas, the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's me, your old buddy Rob, and this is the final day of Best Of. We'll be back live in studio on Monday, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't listen today, because there's a lot of fine tidbits ahead of you. Also, ZVB XRPL. Have you memorized it yet? Ooh! Anyway, we have so much good stuff today. We dissect the disaster that was the naming of the Washington football team as the Washington football team. Also, did you think Baltimore was known for its food and drink? I don't know. There's a couple things. It's pretty famous up there, like crabs. But, you know, there's also something called the spaghetti that's quite popular. So if you are a Baltimore enthusiast, and who is not, stick around as we talk about food and drink in Charm City and a lovely Baltimore history lesson that is head-shakingly amazing. I think I just coined that adverb, but stick around. You're going to love it. Let us start, though, with Mike O'Mara. This goes back to when he is in Maine, and he's having trouble with showers, dishwashers, and a couple of other things. But of course, in true TMOS fashion, we end up talking about ice cream. Mmm, tasty. So here we go. Showers, dishwashers, and ice cream on BotMas.
For those of you that might be on a well or have, a water source that is, I think everybody's got hot water heaters. There's some people that have those super space age ones that heat the water when
tankless,
it comes into the
Mike,
house.
Tankless.
Yeah. Tankless, thank you.
Yeah. The wealthy. Like my brother.
Yeah, it's a tankless job. And also, right, before people write in, we know that it's really just a water heater because it's not a hot water heater. So shut up before you write.
Bite me with that.
People are like that, though.
Does anyone ever experience this where if you happen to be... These are shower disputes. If anybody that lives in a relatively small home, if you have more than one person in there, you have probably issues with who's going to take a shower first,
yes,
who's not going to take a shower.
Shan takes a bath before me. I'm cooked. I got a cold shower every morning.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. So when you're getting ready, especially when you have guests in the house, you know, it's kind of who's going to use the shower first. My mom was religious about it, as far as really almost would put out a schedule about it, because we had my sister and me and my mom and my dad. And so, especially like on weekends, if you're getting together with people and family and stuff like that, and you want to make sure you're ready.
Take a shower now so there's hot water later.
Yeah, let it regenerate.
The simple act of taking a shower, is there any other male, because here I am making it a male-female thing.
Sure.
Is there a requirement that when you are the first person in the morning to jump in the shower, which, quite often I am, because I get up and we do the show in the morning, and I jump in the shower. And so this morning I jump in the shower. Is there a requirement that, or a chip that goes off in certain wives' brains, that when the husband jumps in the shower, that's the time where she's going to run her load of laundry? And the shower is going to go from, hi, here's an invigorating morning shower, to here's the fluctuating. That's the situation.
So the water goes from spray to falling out of the nozzle.
Yeah. By the way, I spent 5 years ago a lot of time with plumbers and everything on this shower to get the shower that I wanted up here. And is it perfect? No, but it's pretty damn fine.
Right,
but it still is affected by a, and so I'm sitting there, and I remember turning the shower on this morning and looking at the spray coming out and going, that's a fine shower. fine shower.
You see that?
And then I go over to the sink,
right.
I grab a towel, I nakedly waddle back.
Yeah. Check yourself out in the mirror?
Fine.
No. No. I did today from the not my private area, but I was kind of looking at my body.
Yes, your trunk.
From the stomach up, and doing what I always do. I kind of look at it and I go,
yep.
And then so I make my way over to the shower. And then
I feel you, Mike.
5 minutes into the shower, it just goes. And I'm like, what's happening? And you can't scream because it's all already done. But I was wondering if I feel as though there's a thing where women, like when you're in the shower, they want to use all the water.
Mm.
They want to do it at that particular time. But that,
I disagree. I disagree.
Oh God!
And I'll tell you why. Because
bastard.
I'm the guy that I would say 2 years ago was upset that my wife, every time I had to use the bathroom, she would use it before me, just right away. And then you guys pointed out that
I
only have one bathroom. So
that's right.
Make
that
sense.
Happens to me. we have an upstairs one bathroom up here.
Yeah.
By the way, in the loft converted to a bedroom. And who invented the goddamn loft anyway?
Sydney Loft.
Who's it? Was that some
skinny
Rob,
people?
Wasn't that some cheap construction ploy? The loft.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The loft. Well, we could put a room with a door.
I would love
instead,
a loft.
We're going to put stairs. What's that?
I said, I would love a loft. Sounds beautiful and glorious.
I know.
He'll
I know.
Take
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. So I stopped being upset at Shannon because she would get right in the bath. She goes, let me go first. And I'm like, oh, God. Like
and they go fast.
They
at
go
least
fast.
Every
fine.
Woman I've ever known
fine.
Goes fast
it's
like
fine.
A rabbit.
Fine. it seems to me that you have a water pressure issue.
Well, no, but the water pressure, if you're not running I will not be able to fix that. I know I'm not, because I'm not bringing up a main plumber up here that'll be
maybe
3 hours
you can
going,
find well, out on YouTube. What,
you're good.
But you know, my bright side, at least it's not a hot water issue. Now, there's nothing worse than when you're in the water and you lose the hot water.
Yeah.
Well,
and
if
that's
we get
bad.
Three people taking a shower here, we lose hot water. But that's everywhere if you've got a regular tank.
That's some men's fantasy.
What's that?
Three people taking a shower.
No, I'm talking about two separate showers.
Yeah.
Two showers. Yeah. Three people having to get in there and do that.
Excuse me.
One right after the other after the other. But the what?
Wouldn't be,
but
wouldn't be a stall shower, though.
If you're in the O'Mara shower. If you're in the O'Mara shower. And by
you
the way, showers my whole life. My whole life showers. I mean, with different homes and stuff. I've lived on this planet a long time. And oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have
mentioned
his last name.
Should
might
we,
want to edit that out.
Bleep that?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Feel
the
free,
owner
internet.
Of a house that I lived in,
yeah.
I always said, how did he fit in that shower?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized when I bought the shower, oh, well, he didn't, because I didn't. And do you remember in the Manassas house that I replaced
I
the shower there?
Uh-huh.
Same thing up here.
Yeah.
What the hell is it with people? I mean, it's just like, I don't mind you getting the prefab Home Depot shower.
Mm-hmm. It comes in a box, right.
It comes in a box, but get the big
fitter.
One.
It's here for you.
What you need, crazy. Mike, is a beautiful tub with feet.
I don't like that.
Old-fashioned tub.
No, there are tons of houses like that up here. Mm-mm. There are tons of houses. Mm-mm. I don't like a bath doesn't work. And a ye old bath, William Howard Taft bathtub, doesn't work any better.
Asking for an accident.
Because it's raised up on claw feet.
I know.
God, I hated that.
The slippery floor bath.
Do you type of baths? I feel like they wouldn't support.
The house you were in when you came to visit up here. In my house that I used to own.
Yes, your family home.
That I was kicked out of. The house that I used to
own.
That
of.
I was
Come
in,
on.
In a way I was. Let's be honest.
You can certainly really urge him.
I was moved out.
What I
remember, don't want to be a part of this anymore. And they were like, really?
Oh, boy. When we
tell
all
me it's
went
not
up there
like that.
As
of course it is.
We all went up to Maine into your family's home that had been there for many years.
Yeah.
And it was back when the show was much bigger, so there were lots of us staying there. Showering was
from the end of the 19th century.
Right, exactly. And luckily, one of the people that was with us was Rob Ford, so he didn't figure into the showering issue. But everyone else, there
Remember
was...
that.
I do too.
They put together equipment,
that.
It's like, what is that?
You said, what did you say to Rob? You said, hey, big man to big man, we got a shower.
But there was showering in your family home, your turn of the century home, was definite shift work. It had to be spaced out throughout the day because there was a lot of people being underserved.
Then they built someone like years and years ago, maybe 30 years ago,
right.
Built a shower, and that still sucked. There's something with showers up here in New England. There's something with hygiene up here in New England.
I saw.
I have to be honest with you.
You're painting with a broad brush now.
No, I am. I am. I'm talking about like the shower thing is not job one. You go to these places. I rented one up here where the shower. It's like, excuse me. I'm not Gumby. What am I supposed to do? Shower like with 1 inch of square? You know, come on.
Isn't the bay God shower?
Oh, what's yes. that?
The bay.
Frenchman's Bay.
Yeah, you can go to Frenchman's Bay.
No, you're covered with salt, and you could get urine on you from foreign countries.
That's true. And also lobster urine.
That's the way I've always looked at the ocean. You're really, you're not going in any real clean area.
It was
really
invigorating.
I mean, that's the way it looks. I mean, you get out of the ocean, you got a film on you.
Yeah, so ask Maddie. She knows this from this past weekend.
Maddie, you got a huge family. Growing up in that family. Now, I know you weren't always the mayor's daughter. You probably had a relatively average suburban home. What was the showering situation
with
you?
She was born into the mayorship.
Yeah, and they lived in Gracie Mansion.
I've
mayorship?
Always been this way, Mike.
Really?
I don't know any other life.
You were born royalty?
I was, yeah.
How are the digs? Did the mayor, did your dad as the mayor, because like most cities, what do you want? What do you want now? Oh, yeah. Ponyboy writes, Rob is connected and looking solid. That's great connectivity up here in Maine to finally get that. Thank you very much.
And that was a text from Monday, so that's good.
Maddie, most mayors live in their own home, so you didn't get a mayor's residence,
No, it's our own house. I'm trying to think. I can't remember any issues with that house, but I know whenever we're at my grandma's, she lives in the sticks, and it's a super old house, and we all have to plan showers throughout the day whenever there's more than three people, which is a hassle for sure.
Carla, you can yell because I know you don't want to come on camera. Did you run a load of wash when I jumped in the shower this morning? Like when I got up, you got up after me, and I immediately went into the bathroom, went into the shower. Actually, technically, you got up because you took Winslow out. I know that. Did you run a load of laundry at that point? Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Have a good day. But it was
such a loving yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't. No. There wasn't a drop of love in that. Yeah. Yeah.
I did your wash.
Yes, I did your wash.
I did your wash.
Pig.
Would it kill you to put it in the dryer?
Well, if we can talk about misogyny just for a second. Yesterday, Charlie Burney, you know him well.
Charlie Burney.
So there was this big underground, and this is when you know you have first world problems and when you're bored and you have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
So Charlie Burney was kind enough to send everyone a coffee cake, right? Remember the whole thing? The coffee cake gate.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that was my. I have to be point on that.
No. I don't think you were the only person. So
okay, Charlie. Make a long story short. Charlie Burney, who runs everything at Podcast Village, sent coffee cakes out with notes like, "I'd love to chat sometime," and I thought something was wrong.
Well, Maddie also thought
she
was
getting. I scared him away, and I haven't heard from him since.
Remember, Maddie thought she was getting fired as well.
Yeah. Remember, Mike. No good deed goes unpunished.
Okay.
It was really just him trying to be nice.
I literally got that coffee cake, and in my mind, I hear this conversation. Mike, it's really been a nice experiment, working with you guys, but I just, and then I hear Dick Katz from Katz Creative Decorating when I was fired when I was 16 saying, but generally things haven't worked out.
The sentiment was in the right, his mindset was he wanted to help.
Yep.
Now, throughout that coffee cake gate incident, I had realized that I never received a coffee cake. Everyone else, including I never got one. And it didn't matter to me, but everyone was saying how great this coffee cake was. So
it was delicious.
Really nice. Here are the two obese fat immediately go, it was good, in my mouth. Rob ate it when it was halfway out of the mailbox.
Had to fight Robert for it, but I got my share.
Yeah, you had to fight Robert for it. Look at Robert and look at you, okay? Who wins that fight?
I guess, he'll win.
How about next time, give him all of it?
So,
when you're in a box, he can help himself.
In a very sweet manner, Charlie sent a little gift basket. Because I think someone made a joke about it, hey, how come Oscar and Shannon didn't get a coffee cake?
Right.
And he's like, that's all it was. So he sent, because Charlie's been working from home, we're social distancing as much as we can, and he's been coming in for a couple of shows he works on, he hosts. he sent this basket with all these snacks. So I've been sharing the snacks with Maddie and Shannon and everybody else. And the beer nuts are something that I just felt like they're not going to want any of that. Like, I'm going to eat the beer nuts. I'm good.
He sent you beer nuts?
And smokes. Like, just it was a basket full of snacks. Pretzels.
That he sent you instead of a coffee cake?
Yes. Which was very sweet.
Could you let us know what was in the basket? Because I'm kind of curious.
So they had fancy chocolates. It had these like really high-end beer nuts I'd never seen anywhere else.
Was it in response to the fact that he didn't send you a coffee cake? Did he realize it and this is a make good?
I think it is.
Okay, that's understandable.
But it's nothing that I was like, I wasn't ringing the bell, I need a coffee cake.
Right.
I think somebody just had mentioned, hey, Oscar, what did you think of the coffee cake? I was like, oh, I didn't get one. Just like a throwaway. That was it. That was enough.
It was a non-cake. Are you okay? What's with
something was in my water. Something like gelatinous was in my water. Oh. Jesus Christ, what was that?
Maybe a Tide Pod?
I have no idea.
Tide Pod! Maybe when Carla did the laundry, she put a Tide Pod in your water. She said, what is this, liquid IV?
I'm so sorry I interrupted you.
No worries.
Okay. So artisanal beer nuts?
Yeah, we've got some spiced crackers, water crackers, ginger
snaps.
He's
a generous guy. That's very nice.
Like super, he went all out. And I'm eating the beer nuts, no big deal. I leave the can almost empty. Maybe I had four beer nuts left of a can. Right next to my workstation. And Shannon, I hear from the other room, walk over to my workstation. Thought she's going to pick up a form that I had to sign or something like that I had signed for her. And she's like, damn it! Maddie, why do guys do this? And I'm like, what's the problem? She goes, why would you leave an empty can of beer nuts just sitting right there? And then Maddie, in the sweetest way possible, she goes, I know. Why do they do that? When it's done, just throw it away. Why would you just leave it there?
Okay, so they've got their thing about us. That's legitimate. Matt, that's completely legit.
Why did you, remember, I'm your ally. She's not.
Right.
Why did you jump to the enemy's line?
I'm just here to speak the truth. And there's nothing that pisses me off more when I see something and then I'm like excited, right? I'm like, all right, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to snack. It's snack time. And then I go and it's empty. It's like heartbreak.
Yeah, but Oscar himself said there was four nuts left. That's not empty.
No, there were four nuts left.
Yeah, there were.
There were four nuts left.
Mike, there am four nuts left.
How did you get magna cum laude? How did you get that?
VCU.
How did you get magna cum laude when you can't speak English properly?
It was VCU, and the checks cleared, and they said, thank you, sir. Here's your piece of paper. Good night.
It's still a miracle to
Mike.
I swear to God. Four nuts left. But if they see the can, Rob, on the side, and they're coming up to it, you didn't leave the can with the plastic cover on it with four nuts in it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, he resealed it. I got to jump.
With the ladies on this one. With the ladies.
Yeah,
all the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put it down, you neatly put the cover back on, and you leave it on a desk like there it is for everybody to have a little sample.
You know what? When you put the lid on it, you take it to the next level of trickery.
Right.
Because what you've done is you've definitely misled them.
I honestly didn't think twice about it. I was like, I'll throw this away in a bit. But Maddie, the way that she pounced on your boy was, I was like, man, I haven't seen this like this side of Maddie. Because she never talks about John like in a detailed manner. Does John do this on a regular basis?
Yeah, all the time. It's caused a lot of rifts in our relationship.
Yeah.
But I think
it's a guy thing.
After 3 years, he's learned a little bit.
Because I think men, and this might be the nature of the biology of being the hunter-gatherer, will sit there and stuff and gorge until they are sated.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not sated, they could be conceivably, you could have three or four nuts left and be sated.
And just say,
that's it, I'm out of gas. Put the cover on it and push it off to the side, never to be seen again.
I got to counterpoint that, Mike. I would never leave that minuscule. I would finish it. I'd have to finish it. If it was only four nuts.
I get that.
Like, what is a single serving of Ben & Jerry's ice cream? It's whatever is there. That's how much you eat. You eat the pint.
The pint is, by the way, has anybody, I'll ask the two thinner people here, Maddie or Oscar, or Pony, for example, have you ever popped open the pint of ice cream and just you know, taking a couple of scoops and not
that's it.
Finished it.
I usually don't sit there outside of heartbreak. You've seen me.
Yeah, and that was a quart.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That was a quart, I remember specifically.
I would say I get two or three spoonfuls, and then
because it wasn't Ben and Jerry's, it was Baskin Robbins, right?
Jamocha fudge.
Yeah, almond Jamocha
fudge. Jamocha fudge. Jamocha fudge.
The taste of heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was Maddie, fun to watch.
But isn't, do you look at a pint of like Ben and Jerry's as that's a serving of Ben and Jerry's?
No, I always scoop some out and then just eat it from a dish because I will eat the whole thing, and that's just not. Good.
No, it's not good.
See,
for
so I do have to have some self-control.
There it is. See, I mean, the idea of Ben and Jerry's not needing a dish. I mean, never. You know, it's just there. That's it. I'm
and I also, you see, I appreciate the way it is in the COVID. Pint. God bless you, Mike.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. You yell COVID as you sneeze.
Yeah, you yell COVID as I sneeze.
I think that's a new tradition. Let's do that. Anytime we sneeze on air, we'll have to yell COVID.
Hey, Pony, I hear you giggling in the background.
Yes, that's right. You know, for me, a pint of ice cream is like at least 2 or 3 months worth of ice cream. I can't do that at once.
2 or 3 months. That's
exactly.
It. You know,
it will
we
last
really,
him long enough to design a third of a website.
Yeah, that's rations.
If we compared notes, Rob, it would probably be, it would probably speak to the way we eat, which is not, but I've always considered the pint to be, I go to the store, buy a pint.
Well,
that's
car,
not a shareable item. I'm getting that.
And then you get another one.
That's for you.
Just
and
to
also,
show the family.
Also, well, if I wanted to share the family, I'd buy something that would stay in the freezer. Like the other day, Julia requested non-dairy Cherry Garcia. That's had a long... I've not tasted it.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love non-dairy Ben and Jerry's. I love that stuff. It's absolutely...
Let's hurry up and finish the show then.
The non-dairy... I'm fasting, so...
Mike.
You got to remember, it's 9:30, okay? My body right now... My stomach's going...
Mike, you have to share... And I'm sure Rob was here, but when you were in Key West before the pandemic...
Yes.
The way that you went to... Was it Fry's or one of the grocery stores, and you bought a pint for the car, and then you brought a pint home and looked at Carl and said, "Nah, I'll have a little later." Like you played it off.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
yeah. But the way that you ate the pint,
right,
was gold.
I ate the pint. I did not have a utensil, so I ate the pint with my front teeth. I scraped
like a beaver.
It and I pulled like a beaver. I ate the pint like an ice cream cone.
Like a wood planer. Like a wood planer against your mouth with curls of deliciousness coming out of sawdust ice cream.
We were visiting my sister Kathy and my brother-in-law Paul, who are like, what are we having for dinner? We're having AP. AP. cut it up in thirds. So that's what the house was like. And I was sitting there and, you know, I was trying to get my eat on. And I did that. And then I got, I think it was maybe that non-dairy coconut cluster thing that they have, which is fantastic. Thank you, Sean Greenwood.
Coconut is really good in ice cream. It's a good ingredient.
Oh, my God. So I ate it like that. And then you can only do so much before you get to the cardboard. And then I bit the cardboard and tore the cardboard down a little bit. And I kind of manipulated with one, because you're eating one-handed, because I'm not going to slow down. I needed to get back. I was way out of Key West.
Was it not melting at a rate where you could sort of like sip a little bit, let it melt, sip, melt,
sip, the air conditioning on in the car, so it was...
Okay, so it wasn't horribly...
And by the way, the Ben & Jerry's, because, you know, it is a mass-produced ice cream, I think perhaps a slightly less intense melt point than some of the ice cream you get up here. Yeah, Giffords, by the way, is the main ice cream that's manufactured, mass-produced up here. And Giffords has a melt point where, you know, you walk it from the window to the car, and you could have a puddle on your hand.
lot of air in there. A lot of air in there.
Well, no, air density is what the melt... I could do ice cream. Sean talk about
it. What do you mean, this melt point?
Rob's talking about cheaper ice creams have maybe more air.
Air whipped in.
Cheaper ice creams have less air whipped in.
Got it.
Right?
No, it's fat. It's fat. The cheaper ice creams have more air.
No, but you say air. The cheaper ice creams have more air in them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that causes them to melt faster because they're less dense.
How would you guys know what a melt point is? Isn't it something you just dive in and get it over with, you're done?
No, but I mean, what Rob's saying, if they whip more air into the ice cream, that means that it is less dense, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Are you researching it?
I'm air and ice cream.
No, density is that means it's going to melt.
This is science now.
It's going to melt faster because it's got more of the cream and the fat.
I thought if it was dense, it would actually last longer.
I'll give you an example. Your soft serve Dairy Queen isn't going to melt as fast as a Ben and Jerry's cone.
True. Or a Baskin
Because there's
Robbins.
More air in it, Rob. That's why.
Did you know that there's air makes up 30 to 50% of most ice cream volume? I didn't realize it was that high. It's called the overrun.
They whip it in. That's it. Mm-hmm. A Haagen-Dazs, less air. A Ben & Jerry's, less air. How did we get on ice cream?
I love that. Someone listening to this right now is like, oh, if it's just air, I can eat as much as I want.
This whole discussion started. That's what's great about this show. The show is, we are Seinfeld. It's about nothing. The show started about a washing machine and a shower, and now we're talking about density. Did you find any information there? Because you're confusing everybody.
No, I don't mean to confuse. If you've ever had a bowl of ice cream melt, then refroze it and tried to eat it later, it probably didn't taste very good.
Yeah, why does that happen?
Because when it's refreeze, when ice cream is frozen, it's agitated because it's being stirred as it freezes. That's how the air gets into it. Right. So it's likely going to taste too sweet if you refreeze it without agitation, or as it's known, Mike, in the business, quiescently frozen. Frozen without agitation.
But that doesn't answer the question about density.
I'm trying to find it right now.
Just look up Google density in ice cream.
I've got it from Penn State University.
Oh, they have the creamery up there. That's a big deal. They love their ice cream at Penn State. They have a dairy program at Penn State, and they have an ice cream parlor on campus that makes incredible ice cream.
Okay, how about this? And while you look, and maybe Rob can play along here as we pass.
Sure, go ahead.
The amount of air also has a huge effect on the density of ice cream. A gallon of ice cream must weigh at least 4.5 pounds, making the minimum density 0.54 gram per millimeter. Better brands have higher densities.
Damn.
Thank you.
Damn.
But if it's higher density, wouldn't it have less air? Because the air is not dense. Air is actually making it fluff.
That's what I said. But you mentioned air, lots of air, when I talked about the melt. So the higher density is going to melt, too.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
The higher density of ice cream is going to melt faster. Do you understand that?
I do. But I also think that the more fat that's in there, it's going to, if it's got higher butter fat, and I'm perhaps confusing the overrun with the fat content. That's where I went wrong.
How dare you?
But I think more fat is going to stay frozen longer.
The Penn State, you're absolutely right, Rob, about Penn State here. This is amazing. I didn't even know this was up there. How'd you know about this? Does everybody know about this?
Well, Brad's family is a Penn State family, so I know a little bit about the school.
Okay, the larger the structure of ice cream, the longer it takes the flavor molecules to be released. One side effect of adding a lot of air to ice cream is that it tends to... Oh, Rob's right.
Oh, snap!
What?
Twist.
I have to eat my words right now. When he's right, he's right. One side effect of adding a lot of air to ice cream is that it tends to melt more quickly. That would follow because the Giffords is the mass-produced ice cream, and that's with less air.
You see, and I think what happens is that ice cream, one of the big qualifiers for like the boutique high-quality ice creams is weight. Because, you know, a pint of ice cream is a pint of ice cream is a pint, but if it's a denser ice cream, it's going to weigh more, and that's a sign of a premium ice cream. As I recall. What were you saying about Penn State?
Penn State Creamery gives you a breakdown of which flavors melt the fastest.
Oh, okay. What's the fastest?
It's telling you that chocolate melted the fastest, followed by pineapple toasted coconut, and finally strawberry sorbet took the longest to melt.
Sorbet took the longest to melt.
That's what they're telling me, man.
Wow.
Now, here's another answer. Does density affect the melting rate of ice cream? It isn't a major factor in determining melting point. Here is a table of compounds. Oh, bite me.
Science. Okay. Who has time for that?
Right. How does density affect? Oh, boy, we're not the first ones that have asked about this.
No, Mike, there's a lot of very concerned fat people out there, and they're writing.
Yeah. Anything about covalent bonds?
Yeah, I invested in them.
Hold on. Before we get out of here,
I got a high yield.
Keep talking about yourself. I have one more question.
Also, Oscar, if you go to Penn State, you can also buy cheese curds. That's another thing they sell up there.
Yum.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a beautiful campus. Unfortunately, it's had a few bad years. Mm. You know, they a lot of times they've got that Nittany Lion statue. That's their.
I've actually been there.
Yeah, the ear has been stolen off the statue.
Just stolen by disgruntled
people.
I said, what ice cream brand melts the fastest? They're saying the brand of ice cream that melted the most is Great Value. That's the Walmart brand. Then Breyers, then Haagen-Dazs.
Mm.
This doesn't matter at all. I'm completely wrong with this.
Well, I think Häagen-Dazs is a little overrated anyway. Häagen-Dazs was not, you're supposed to think it's like imported from Germany as a beautiful, wonderful thing.
It's a French
chocolate. It's delicious, though. It's very
yummy. It's good ice cream, but you know, it was targeted to sound that way. It's an American brand.
It is?
They fooled you.
Just like the Frappuccino?
Exactly. Frappuccino, no matter what it is.
It looks like you're using an ad blocker. Yes, I am. F*** you. Christ.
Is that what it looks like?
Oh, does it look like that? What does this look like? All right. Thank you. Just flipped him off.
Hello. I talked about it in the intro to today's show that Baltimore has a storied history of food and drink. Really? Yeah. Here we talk about a drink called the spaghetti. And that moves on to some other great Baltimore gastronomic history on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
I can't tell with you working.
It
at
is
home.
There. Now it's gone.
All right. Very good.
It is gone.
You know what? Let's do this. I think we need a palate cleanser.
Yes.
After all that COVID talk. And in the thought of having the TMOS cocktail party tomorrow, you have been telling me about a summertime cocktail.
Yes.
Now, do you have transition music for, you know, nice music for cocktailing that you might want to play for your little kitchen corner that you want to do here, Rob? I'm just curious. There we go.
Yeah, we can play something. Mike, have you ever heard? This is a Baltimore-invented cocktail. But it involves a drink that you introduced me to.
All right.
And this is from Bon Appetit magazine. As you know, I take their emails.
Bon Appetit.
And
Bon Appetit.
It is called the spaghetti. And it's spaghetti. It's like spelled like
spaghetti?
Yeah, but with no I. And this is from a series called, it's called the, I'm sorry, let me read the headline. It's called spaghetti. And it's now my favorite summer cocktail. I ordered this drink based on the name alone. All right. And it says, this is from Highly Recommended, a regular feature in Bon Appetit magazine. It says, the last time I was in Baltimore, I was thirsty, really thirsty. I don't think of Baltimore as a great food town. Do you?
No. There was a Spanish restaurant in Baltimore. I think I remember the name of it that I drove from Annapolis up to Baltimore to go to a place called Tio Pepe.
Ooh,
I think that's what
like
it was called.
Is that Uncle Peter?
It was really.
I think it's Uncle Dick.
Uncle Peter and Pearl. Rhode Island could beat the crap out of it as well. Uncle Peter. I think that's the. It might still be there. I'll look it up while you're doing your thing.
All right.
Just a quick question is. Is the guy who sold crabs to us, the big pound crabs on the side of the road, is he in Baltimore or is he on the Eastern Shore?
Oh, that's Kaz. He's more up on the Eastern Shore. It's not a Baltimore guy. Although his accent might be, it might favor Charm City.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm. I was like, where was that guy from?
It looks like it's still a restaurant, Restaurante Tio Pepe. Man, oh man, you know what? A great restaurant can stay in my brain forever.
Yeah. Just like a fantastic ex-girlfriend. Like, you just remember them.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, you're like, she was crazy, but it was awesome for like 5 months.
There is a, all right, since you brought it up, and we'll get to the cocktail in a second here.
It keeps.
When you bring that up, I better be careful here. All right, I have to. I'm a camp counselor. I'm 18 or 19 years old.
Here we go. I like it.
And I know I only know the first name of this girl, and her name was Lynn.
Ooh.
And she was extremely naughty, like really naughty. And a bunch of us, after camp, went to a watering hole in my hometown.
Yes.
And we were sitting there, and I think it was 3-on-3, one of those big booths where you sit three on a side. And it's like camp counselor, camp counselor, camp counselor, then a guy next to me, and then Lynn on my right.
Right.
And so as you talk about remembering things.
Yeah.
As and this is not all that naughty.
No, but you're 19. Anything's naughty. 18,
but
it
was a memory because it had never happened to me before. As we're sitting in the booth, she put her hand on my leg, and not in the lower part of my leg either.
Yeah.
And of course, when you're 18 or 19, that was a memory that I will.
And you sure it was her?
And she's touching
my quad.
Yeah,
it was. It was a member where I'm like, and I looked over and I remember looking over at her and she was looking at me like this with her eyebrows up and it was just
so she knew what she was doing.
She knew exactly what she was doing and she was a little older and it was very 62. Special.
Hi, Carla.
It was very special. I'm sorry, you were bringing up memories and suddenly.
You know, my
61-year-old, like a lightning bolt right into my brain. Remember that? That's going back a long, long way.
This cocktail, the spaghetti. I'm wondering if the watering hole you're at, is it from the same place? It's called Wet City. Wet City Brewing. Is that the same place you were at? No.
No.
Rob.
But that's the name of the place.
You're so gross. Why could you leave that fun memory there before you went into Gross Town?
Why do you always have to go into fluids? Yeah. Why do you always? What is your sexual deviation where you have to always mention fluids? What is?
Maddie, I want to apologize on behalf of Rob.
Oh,
you must be disgusted.
God.
It's going to be a lot of therapy.
Really? No, the restaurant I was talking about was Tio Pepe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is still very much. You know, alive.
Yeah.
As required by the state of Maryland, we remind our patrons to come wearing the required face covering. Okay. That's
and there's
cool.
good Italian places somewhere up in Baltimore, I think, too, right? I mean, they've got
Got a Little Italy.
A Little Italy, right? Yeah.
I've been to many restaurants. So, yeah, Baltimore, I think, has a good food scene.
Is it possible I could ask Tio Jimmy to come over tomorrow night and just say hello? Maybe plug his restaurant?
Do you want food? Is that what you're looking for?
Of course, that's what. Yeah.
Do you want Jimmy to cater our cocktail party tomorrow?
There's
night?
Only three people. Cater's a stretch, but maybe if you want to bring something.
If you're asking for
nine wings.
Are you okay with that? I don't want.
I'm okay for whatever you want to do. I don't care. Right, that's fine with me. He came to Rob's house
Maddie?
Once.
You know? He did.
I'd never say no to a chicken wing.
Buffalo Girl.
Jimmy,
I'll ask him.
Thank out. You. All right, so back to your cocktail. Yeah.
So last time I was in Baltimore, I was really, really thirsty. Really thirsty. So I perused the happy hour menu at Wet City Brewing, I waited for something extra cold and quenching to catch my eye. I got all the way to the end and I spotted it. For $5, the spaghetti. I ordered it based on its name alone. How could you not? Spaghetti
How's
without
it spelled?
The E. It's spelled spaghetti. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Yeah. Spaghetti.
Truly, I'm thankful I did because this cocktail has become my official drink of summer. It's only got three ingredients. Miller High Life, lemon juice, and Aperol.
Ooh.
Aperol.
See, I thought you would be intrigued by this because last Christmas, you had the Aperol Spritz, right?
The Aperol Spritz, I think it was my nephew's wife, Sarah, a wonderful human being, one of my favorite people in the world, who was walking through my sister's house with a goblet, and it was bright orange. It was a bright orange, but I was a little thirsty, and I looked at that because Aperol spritzes are not only delicious, but they're super thirst-quenchy. Like, it's an alcoholic beverage that has that thirst-quenching capability,
did a little research. What kind of alcohol is Aperol? It's an Italian aperitif, and aperitifs are dry rather than sweet. The alcohol content is 11%, which is about like a bottle of wine, a little less than wine, which is half of its brother drink, Campari. It's often compared to Campari.
Okay. All right. And it's got a bitterness to it.
It has,
and it's Aperol orange.
It has a strong orange and mandarin orange flavor with a nice balance between cinchona and gentian bitterness and an easy sugary sweetness.
It's wonderful, and I love what the Italians do with aperitifs because they are really, there's a bitterness that I enjoy with that. Amaro is something I talked about before, and that I like that element in a thirst-quenchy drink. I don't like super sweet. I like to have the bitter notes, but it's still a sweet drink. But
sure.
Miller High Life, it's still,
well, this
you
guy
know,
says it has
I don't
everything.
Like putting ice cubes in beer or anything else.
I don't
in
like
beer.
Altering beer either, but this guy makes a pretty strong case. He says it's fruity, bitter, and just tart enough to lead you back for another sip. It's so straightforward. Here's the recipe. You open a bottle of Miller High Life, Mike, the great taste of beer, it comes in a bottle, and you pour out about 1 ounce, add the lemon juice and the Aperol directly into the bottle, and you're done. You actually serve it in the bottle of Miller High Life. And
could you use Miller Lite, do you think?
I'm sure you could use any beer. I
bet you could use Miller Lite. I might try it tomorrow night. I might actually try that tomorrow night. I'll try that tomorrow night. I'll do that. I'll get some Miller and I'll try. That sounds really, you know, since we're sitting here in South Florida on the surface of the effing sun right now.
I will send you the recipe. You'll need fresh lemons, beer, and the Aperol. And he says the secret is the beer has to be as cold as possible. Mm. That's what makes it especially refreshing. But after you described it as a sort of a bitter orange flavor, and I love orange bitters myself, I think this is really possible and really a reason to buy a Miller product for once.
I love that a restaurant that I liked when I was back in my 20s is still very much alive in Baltimore. And so I found the menu for, and they're open, by the way.
Oh,
they're
nice.
They're open. A bit of Spain in Baltimore. Superb restaurant. Let me see. They've got sopas. That's, tell me what that, soup, right? That's
soups.
But they say sopas.
Soups up.
Sopas.
Entremeses.
That's what's entremeses? Is that appetizers?
Appetizers, I would guess. Yeah.
Tortillas.
That's a tortilla?
I mean, omelets. Sandwich.
That's odd. Let me see. It's all Spanish language dishes. Mussels in green sauce, smoked salmon, filet of sole sauteed with bananas and topped with a delicate hollandaise sauce.
Wow.
Juicy filet of grouper marinated in Provençal sauce. It's a... Yes. Fresh chicken livers sauteed with cherry sauce with saffron rice. Red pepper stuffed with veal, ham, and mushrooms. Mm. Deboned chicken sauteed in garlic sauce. Oh, my God. It's fantastic. And they do something really good. Let me look at the appetizers.
Do they have a quesarito?
They don't have a quesarito. Where is it? Spanish asparagus, Spanish cured ham, Mediterranean seafood cocktail. Shrimp marinated in garlic sauce. That's the stuff.
Ooh,
that's
damn.
The stuff. Fantastic. Tio Pepe, if you ever want to go up there, I think I'll still recommend it, even though it's 30 years that I since I've been there. It's a
made
fantastic
an
place. And as far as Baltimore's, let me see, I'm trying to think of Baltimore's Little Italy district. They're all pretty good there.
Oh, Little Italy.
All very good restaurants.
I mean, they're known for their food.
And then there's Pell's Point where you can go get drunk.
Yeah, and if you like Polish food, I know there is a place owned by a man named Johnny that is very good.
Yes, Johnny has a place that's very close to, I believe, Larry Flint's Hustler Club called Polak Johnny's.
Polak Johnny's?
What it is, Mike. Johnny's. That's the tourism district there.
Let me see. I know we're going to break, and I love this lovely music here. Let me look up Polak Johnny's. Hold on a second. Kill it for just a second.
Okay, stop the music. Stop the music.
Polak. I don't know how to use it. Polak Johnny's.
Right. I don't even know how to spell that word. I think it's
one of those days where I'm living. All right. Oh, it's a Polak Johnny. Polock.
Okay.
What happened? Why did I go back to that? Come on. God damn it. All right. Here we go.
I don't know. Maybe the website's down.
Let me see. Checking it out right now.
Did you put up the new links yet, Johnny?
Polak Johnny's, a Baltimore tradition since 1921.
Oh, my God.
Exclusive brand. We provide high-quality gourmet products.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And there's a picture. Boy, this looks like a retail site.
Maybe they have goods now.
Sure.
They have goods. You can buy original Polak Johnny sausages or, the work sauce. That's what you put on your dog. So here it is right now. Polak Johnny's.
Mike, I got a brand new cocktail. You pour out 1 ounce of Natty Bo and add all the work sauce into your beer. And that's
Hello.
Called a Polak Johnny's Piquette.
Man.
So you're saying I could order that today and have it sent to my house?
Once upon a time.
Yes.
I swear to God, I am reading from the website. A short story about us. Once upon a time, there lived a poor kid named Johnny.
Oh, no.
He was a true blue Baltimorean who had a natural ability to turn a buck. In the mid-1900s, when John was growing up, the country was fighting World War I, and the economy was lean. He got through the hard time selling shoestrings and gadgets.
Gadgets!
And gadgets, just like Oscar, on the corner of Lexington and Park Avenue. John's nickname was Whitey. Whitey was an incredible... Okay, and it goes on and on.
Well, Mike,
Jesus, what
when we come back, will you give us the story? I mean, this is a thrilling story of a man making in World War One.
Absolutely, and then I'll tell you where the Polack Johnny locations are. So if you're a Baltimorean, let me just say right now, this particular show is all for you. We'll come back with a story of Polack Johnny and where can get one of his hot dogs right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob Spiewak here, and you're there. I'm not going to take direction from a haircut, but that beside the point, let's finish up this whole Baltimore thing with a gastronomic history lesson, courtesy of Mike O'Mara on Botmas. That means, as you know, the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
We're back to Polack Johnny's, which we have made jokes about forever, and it's just weird. Sometimes you do a deep dive on the internet and you realize here they are. He opened a joint on a notorious block calling it Penny Arcade. It featured the now tame hand crank peep show machine.
Okay, pause just for a moment. Just for a moment. If you're really trying, you're putting out a whole. This is
like
really
an origin story.
An origin story. Do you really want to mention the fact that your sausage was based on a peep show? I don't think
I got to go back. I'm reading. This is a huge bio.
Okay,
Whitey was an incredible opportunist.
Right, as World War One.
As time marched on, he found his way into local carnivals. He set up a booth, created a unique midway game. His games always looked easy to win, and the prizes were better than anyone else's. This always angered some of the seasoned vendors, and they would mumble under their breath. Occasionally, when it got real busy, Whitey would return a nickel or dime extra change, and word quickly spread that he couldn't count change.
Oh, no. How dare they?
When the merchant got word of this, they chanted, "That dumb Polack is going to lose his shirt this weekend." When the weekend finally arrived and the players flooded his stand, the Polack suddenly learned to count. From that day, he was called Johnny the Polack and became well-known and respected. He traveled with his show for a while until he began his family. It was time to settle down and set up a home base.
So he started the reputation of
giving back too much change. So he'd get people. He outsmarted all of them. Mm.
That's brilliant.
That is pretty amazing.
Yes, it is.
So the joint on the block was called the Penny Arcade. It featured the now tame hand crank peep show machine.
Yeah,
two
like a
photo
flip card.
Booths,
yeah.
Uh-huh. three claw machines with naughty novelties, and the popular pinball machines with all the bells, lights, and buzzers. It wasn't long before Johnny began to incorporate his carny background into the arcade. He created a shooting gallery.
What naughty novelties do you suppose were in the claw machine? Because it's like
maybe
1930s.
Yeah,
I suppose, maybe.
He created a shooting gallery with a BB rifle to challenge the players to step right up and shoot the star. Johnny was content with all the familiar noises, but his arcade was missing something that he couldn't quite put his nose on. Then one magical late afternoon, he plugged in his frying pan to fix himself a hot dog.
Oh, Johnny.
As the fragrance filled the room, it cast a spell on the pinball wizards. When Johnny looked up, his counter was filled with hungry faces.
Sure.
Alas, he figured what was missing in his arcade, the delicious aroma from carnival food. Needless to say, Johnny sold his lunch and brought the rest of the pack in the next day. When he went through that pack in 5 minutes, he decided to make that his new game, Hot Dogs and Lemonade.
That's a good game.
He decided to specialize in Polish sausage so he could use his nickname. He created our work sauce and scored the Polish title with little cuts. Later, those cuts became our logo, and in 1921, a new sign was being hung at Polack Johnny's.
This is a great American story.
Yeah. I don't know what little cuts are. I have no idea what.
Well, I think you score the sausage's skin.
I don't want to go too PC, but Polack Johnny's not appropriate anymore, right?
Not the name?
Probably
hasn't
not
been appropriate in a long time.
Yeah. But it's he's been featured. I think they're out at Camden Yards, aren't they?
Are they as popular as Boardwalk Fries?
I'm not quite sure.
In the Maryland area.
Let me see where they are. Let's see if they're
Brashers.
Let's see if they've still got a place on the block. I'm not sure whether they do.
All right. So there's Looney's.
Oh, now what's
Looney's
this?
Pub.
I know Looney's.
I don't know if
you know Looney's.
Oh, I've been to Looney's.
Oh, my sure. God. There are tons of locations. Yards. People are thinking we're stupid right now because there are all sorts of.
They want one in Fed Hill as well. I'm not mistaken.
Right, a long time. Right now, people think we're brilliant.
Yeah, because like,
we're doing a deep dive.
Yikes. These guys in Charm City, let me tell you.
This appears to me.
All I know is I cooked a hot dog one day, and everyone wanted to buy it, so I sold them.
This appears to me to be the restaurants that serve Polak Johnny's.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so the licensed actual worst. Yeah.
Yeah, there's an outlet, too, so that's exciting. There's
if you want discount sausage.
Can I order them to my house?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like
you can get
what
them.
That's about.
Yeah, but the problem you have no way to cook them.
I have a grill in the back.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah,
well, I got that going for me.
If you start cooking them, Oscar, people will come up and you can sell them.
It's Tio Pepe.
Oscar's not Polish.
It's Tio Pepe in Baltimore and Polak John. But I don't know. I'm trying to confirm whether they still
the Penny
exist.
Arcade still stands.
Or the place on the in the red light district.
I remember when I think we were at WHFS and I wasn't on air yet. I was a promo guy, and I remember the afternoon jock had an appearance at the Hustler Club, in the red light district. And I was like, well, I
who
guess
had an appearance there?
What the afternoon jock? It might have been Graham or Tim Virgin. I'm not sure who.
Okay,
all right.
And it was I remember being that young, being like, wait, we're gonna go to a strip club. And you're going to make me drive the van and bring all the t-shirts and the free. And for what it's worth, a strip club promo gig is nothing but you making sure that the afternoon talent is happy. That's all it is. Like, what do you want these? Who do you want to give these to? Like, what are you going to
do? Right. Yeah.
There's very little for the disc jockey.
Right. There's very little for the disc jockey to do. And I thank God I never had to do one of those gigs.
I didn't mind them.
Right. The only thing I can compare it to is I was booked a couple times to do appearances for Super Bowls, and it's the worst thing you can do because you don't talk during the game, and if you try to talk during a commercial, everyone boos you because they want to see the commercials. There's nothing for you to do. It's similar to being in a strip club. They're not there to see the afternoon
jog. Not as bad as my worst, which was early in my career, Baldwin Service Center. That was the place that sold tractor supplies for tractors, lawnmowers.
Yes.
And the owner, who was prickly and was a prick, came out and said, maybe you should ride around the service center on a tractor.
Yeah.
And, I'm a dirty whore. And I said, I'll do it. And it was riding something like a guy.
Something fun? I was like, how does this work?
It was fun. But then, I started out and I'm going around and the sales guy's looking at me just going. and I'm sitting there. That's when I really felt like a rube.
Yeah, you rube.
Yeah, and that wasn't fun. I hated those type of things. And then later on, my career came full circle where the aforementioned cricket stores.
I hold in my hand the final segment of the final episode of BotMos. We will be back on Monday with shiny new faces and bells on our toes. So make sure you tune in on Monday and get back into the swing of things. Thank you for listening to the best of the Mike O'Mara Show this week. I put a lot of effort into it, and I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, ZVBXRPL, and we will see you on Monday. So how do I leave you today? I leave you with Mike, one of his classic instances of having some technical difficulties, coming through it okay, but letting himself know he's dissatisfied with Mike O'Mara. Then we talk about the naming, I believe they are currently called the Washington Commanders, no? The football team that plays in Washington, D.C. And for a while, they were called just simply the Washington football team in one of the greatest fumbles in media relations ever. This was not smart. In any case, we break it down on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you Monday.
It's fine,
I'm looking
Mike.
At Oscar right
it's
now
fine.
Because you know what I just did.
Yeah,
right?
I know you just did.
That's what it was. That's
it's
what it
small
was.
Things, Mike.
The
it's
entire thing we just went through.
Right.
Where I cost this show 20 minutes before we could go to airtime was my fat, stupid American university should have gone to Catholic school, dumb ass, not plugging in the right nipple into my Mac, and I cost the show 20 minutes
dicking around, doing a little, and I am an idiot, and I am so mad at myself.
No.
Mike needs to be spoken to by Mike right now.
All right? Okay.
I'll step away.
I'm going to just speak to myself. All right? Hold on just a second. Come in here. Yeah.
What the f***?
I'm sorry. You should be sorry. That was ridiculous. Look what you put everybody through. I didn't know. How many times do you come up here and plug that computer in, Mike, and not get it right and just do the same? You do the same thing every day, but you forget. You forget because you're lazy. You're lazy and you're not in here early enough and you're not sweating the details. I want you to get your goddamn ass together and do things properly so you don't waste people's time. I'm sorry. You should be. Okay? Are we done? Oh, are we done? No, maybe we're not done. Maybe we want to talk about it some more. I'm sorry. You should be. No drinks for you tonight.
Oh, no!
I'm so mad at myself. I was sitting there. All right. I have to go behind the scenes.
You should.
We have lots of connections, and there's lots going back and forth, and there are lots of audio sources and lots of microphones and lots of speakers because there are lots of computers involved. And I am hearing feedback that's like, every time I talk, you hear every time I talk, every time I talk, every time I talk. And I can't for the life of me figure out why. And Oscar walks me through settings on my computer. We narrow it down to one computer. I mute microphones. I change microphone settings. I change this. I mute this. I mute that. I mute this. I mute that. Then the show starts, and I look down, and I've got my little audio, little audio input, a jack that I put in the side of the computer every day that I haven't done. And all of that would have been unnecessary. So just plug that thing that you heard at the beginning of the show going, the worst audio cable in the history of audio cables. No, it's really not. Once you get them, they last forever. Yeah, yeah. But it goes like that.
Can you unplug
and
re-plug?
Look at Oscar at that moment. Oscar looks at me. I look at him. And we're looking at each other and go, yep, that was it. That, we would have saved all of that time if I had done that. You see.
Can you unplug and replug so we can hear the sound? I actually like the sound.
All right. I know you do. All right. I can make it like curl your hair.
Oh, good.
This is London.
That's funny.
Unmute, and then it says, unmute your speakers or increase your volume to hear other participants. No. Don't need to.
No.
Don't need to. That's it. Hold on. Somebody's at the door.
Who is it?
Hold on. Somebody's at the door waving his hands wildly. I can't hear you. Let me open the door. I can't. Hold on. Let me see what's going on here. I just, this show is going this way. This is it. Rob, do you have a door?
Do
you
have a
door
for me? Give me a sec.
We have a door.
Thank you.
We have a door. Thank you. Hold on. I can't. It takes me a second to get to the door, Mike. It's on the other side of the room. Hold
on. It's okay, powder.
All right. I understand.
Shut up.
We'll get to that. My God. It's a clown face.
It's really.
Put orange hair on him and he'd be it. He'd be Pennywise.
How dare you? Doing the best I can. Trying to.
You got to get the video today. We have a talking head. Fred Vigdor from the Average White Band will be joining us later on this morning. So be aware of that.
Guys!
Charlie! How have you been?
They did it! They did it!
What'd they do?
They accepted my name!
Oh, for the Redskins?
For the Redskins!
Yeah, you've been pulling for it.
They took the one that I sent in! They took the one that I sent in!
You wrote in Washington football team?
I said, how about the Washington football team?
Genius.
Didn't you send it in on a postcard, right?
Right. Here's how it works. They're in D.C., Rob.
Right.
And they play football.
Right. So you put two and two.
Right. You don't need that logo that nobody likes, so you take that off, and you just put their numbers on it, but you keep the same colors. Mm. And you call it the Washington football team.
Do you like the colors? Do you like the colors?
I love the burgundy and gold. They use used it.
I know.
They're going to use it this year.
Did they give you any, they give you any money for that?
I Charlie voice. Okay. I'm all dry. Bye.
Jesus, nice Charlie.
Oh, I love Charlie.
What the hell's wrong?
That's main Charlie.
That's main Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah, but of course I dumped it when I had it. Hi, boys. How are you? I'm having a Friday
already.
So,
Mike, I don't think Washington football team's terrible. It could be worse. You know why? Oh,
stop it.
Because in South Korea, the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization, which is the...
Yeah, that you've been watching religiously.
Yeah, and yes. Well, the 6 a.m. games, Mike. It's either that or the squawk on
sorry,
CNBC.
Nats fans. By the way, sorry, Nats fans. Oh, sorry, man, come on. Beat you last night.
Come on. So, I watched the KBO, and I kid you not, this coming week, you'll see these two teams play, LG versus Samsung. The team is called LG. The team is called Samsung. That's how they do it. In the
like
KBO.
No pretense. No pretense. Just take the sponsor and knock it right out.
After 3 years, does the LG team just fail?
Like the fridges?
Yes, tell exactly. You this. I watched this. I saw this news story and I said, unreal. Unreal. When you are talking about right now, all over the world, the greatest minds in the world creating, working their asses off to create a vaccine to save all of our lives, and the type of energy and intellectual energy that goes on. And this pathetic sports organization run by a little Napoleon douche that can't, you know, that all he wants to do is chew his gum and look like Mr. Tough Guy.
Right.
And it wasn't buying a football team. It was turning himself into the Godfather. That's what he wanted, because he's a little guy that couldn't play sports. So he wanted to own a sports team to be a tough guy. Don't look at Mr. Snyder. Don't look. And after all this time, when he said, over my dead body, I'm not going to change the name.
Printed,
well, you did.
In capital letters.
Yeah, in capital letters. Yeah. Okay, Dan, you nad, who like 98% of the people who have met you don't like you because you're so arrogant.
Truly unfortunate, Mike, because on the same day that this wonderful name came out for the Washington football team.
The Washington football team.
Seattle. Who's going through
Seattle killed it.
Yeah,
killed it.
Well, think about it, right? Because this is and I'm going to steal a page out of Isabel, Charlie Burney's wonderful daughter, who's going to UVM, who texted when the Washington football team name came out. Him and I, when we were here in the studio, had said, don't their marketing people get paid six figures?
Unbelievable.
Didn't they see this coming?
It's insane. It's insane. There have been 10 names that are just right there to pick off a tree.
Yep. Okay?
They just needed to have the balls to do it. They didn't. They're afraid of the little guy. Meanwhile, in the great city of Seattle, Washington, the Seattle Kraken, with a logo to die for, with a logo that screams to me, buy the hat right away.
Of course.
You can't even imagine what they're selling right now out in Seattle. With a great logo, they unveiled it, they pulled the trigger, great unique name for a sports state. The Kraken.
Yeah. Release the Kraken.
The Kraken.
Yes.
Release the Kraken. It was spectacular. Meanwhile, back here in Scared It, this is CBS Radio. This is NBC, all balled into one with the Redskins organization, where you mean to tell me with all that time they couldn't pull a name for their fans? So they have to what are they going to do? How long are they going to dick around trying to figure out what they're going to call it?
I saw the lady that is their press representative on the news this morning, and she has she kind of looks like a pill representative when you're at the doctor's office. Very, very pretty, very, very put together. And she says, you know, in many instances when dealing with trademarks, it's an 18-month process.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
And I would almost buy that if the fact is if they haven't been dealing with this issue on and off for 10 years.
They should have had a plan. Let's rewind here. Okay. The trademark situation, because we're going through this in certain instances for our business. We've been down this road before.
Right.
It does take some time.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't that be better to say, to come up and say, look, this is what we're working on.
Right.
This is what we're going after. We've already filed the paperwork. But because of the legalese of all this, of what it is today in this world, we can't use that yet, but we're going to go with this. right now. So this is,
by the way, we're being bad broadcasters, yes, because we should explain what we're talking about is that the former Washington Redskins football team has they decided they were going to change the name. People were talking about it for a few weeks now, what they were going to call the team. And when it came time to make the announcement, because the season is around the corner, hopefully, in the NFL, they have decided, because they can't come up with it yet, and they can't use it or whatever their stupid reason is.
I think they don't have simply, it. I think they don't have it yet.
They're simply going to refer it to the team as the Washington football team.
Yeah.
Which to me is just such a joke. And it's this is
Prince
all
did a better job.
Design just a symbol?
Yeah. Just a symbol.
The team formerly known as Redskins.
If you were on the radio, you'd have to say the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is the city that gave us, this city has had name challenges forever. They didn't, because the violence, inner city violence in Baltimore and Washington, they changed the name of the basketball team from the Bullets, and then they decided, this is real DC. Why don't we call the team the Wizards?
That's right.
Which made no sense at the time. Then there was the old Washington Senators reprising the Washington Senators baseball team, which would have been great. It would have been great to call them the Senators, because the baseball team in D.C. was always called the Senators. But no, we're going to call them the Nationals,
right,
which I think, they've won a championship. They are ingrained. Go Nats. Fine. There's only one team in Washington, D.C. that hasn't had to change the name, got it right, except for that little color fiasco back in the 80s when they decided some marketing douche decided, copper's popular, so is teal. Let's put copper and teal together for the colors in the nation's capital that should be red, white, and blue. So D.C. has always overthought everything. And this is a classic example. And this is a team where I don't care what the deal is. You go out, you pay whoever, you make them the Washington Warriors. You keep the skins colors, and that's it. You do it that way.
That was sort of lost in the press release yesterday is the fact that the Redskins organization, or I should say the football team organization, has vowed to remove all physical signage of the old logo by the first game.
Mm.
They're giving themselves 2.5 months. To do that. Do you think maybe you could fast track it just a little bit? No, because they got stuff to sell, Mike.
What they're good at is being tough guys. And sure, you can't come into this area and you have to stay out of here. And we're the Washington team. They're just so misguided. There's so many people in that organization that are all about being part of the organization and not just getting things done.
So let's look at the downside of them going, let's say they went public with a name that they hadn't completely trademarked. And I'm not,
That's cool. You want to do the business analysis? Yeah.
Sure.
I'm down with that. That's fine. That's good.
So let's say someone within their operation said, if we go public with this name and we don't have the trademark, technically it's open season on anybody who wants to just go ahead and print shirts.
Yeah.
So then let's say that is the case and they're willing to take the risk of any legalities that come in the future. And are the Redskins going to go after them and the patent holder? I'm sorry, the trademark holder. Even if you lost all that money, and I know it's hard to tell someone lose the money and just move forward.
Right.
What is more egregious? Your entire fan base in the country and the nation saying how dumb you are and how inefficient you are and how tone deaf and how...
So tone deaf.
Like, why wouldn't you just not figure out and say, we're just going to lose that money and whatever happens, happens. We're just going to put this out there because we've already misstepped and stepped on our you-know-what.
Right.
So if we have any stakeholders, we're like, the pandemic hit us and then the trademark thing hit us. This is the year to F it up.
If you have to have it up, do it this year. But he has never once done a thing for his fan base. Ever. Since Snyder took over the team, he's almost been anti-fan. So why would he even consider it now? He won't. He can't.
So where does it stand? I'm not up there. Where does it stand right now? What's happening? What are they going
to
do?
Hail to the Washington football team. Hail victory.
One thing I like is there is a rumor that has been from several corners that the trademark holder for the team did purchase the Washington Sentinels. Now, if you remember the movie with Keanu Reeves, The Replacements, which was about the scab season of the NFL.
Oh, I love the Replacements.
And the Washington Sentinels was based essentially on the Washington football team. There is a slight rumor right now that they might be chasing down the Washington Sentinels. But if they do that, the team will be ever for known. They'll be forever known as the Replacements. It's not a good organization.
I like the Sentinels.
But to ally themselves with a broken season like that?
I hear Sentinels. I think of the X-Men.
All right.
Yeah. So they're going to use Washington football team for the entire 2020
season. Yeah,
that's
what we got.
Yeah. And if you go to the website, they've actually got artwork prepared that looks like it was done by someone who would not make the sophomore year at VCU.
I cannot believe they did this. I just can't believe that they didn't have their act together. Mm-hmm. It's a punt. It's a complete and total punt. And that's exactly analogy.
That being said, and if there could be some genius and we could be being played, am I going to buy a Washington football team t-shirt? I probably would if it was just going to be one season, one off, like a one and done. Just to be ironic.
I hate to tell you this. I don't want to insult you. You are pure DC from head to toe. That's the way it could be valuable.
Yeah. If you buy it, check for spelling errors before you purchase the shirt, because I'm pretty sure you want to take that extra layer of coverage.
I have it on good authority. There will be a burgundy t-shirt and a gold t-shirt. I'm looking at it right now. Established 32 or something like that?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
1932.
That's when they came down from Boston.
DC's football team to change their name to Washington football team. Pending permanent name. It's just so stupid. It's so unfair.
This is as
it's
bad,
all about money,
if not worse.
It's greed. He's the greediest owner in the NFL.
Do you know a couple, or have you met a couple, or heard of a couple, or heard somebody make fun of a couple that says, yeah, we haven't given the baby a name yet. We're just waiting to figure out like what type of name she is.
Yeah, that's my cousin Mark.
Here's the quote from the Washington Redskins. For updated brand clarity and consistency purposes. That you want to translate that? Because we haven't gotten the rights to make all the money from it. It's an NFL team. You can put NFL or you, right? Can't you handle that?
There's only 32 of them. It is a license to print money. You can't mess this up.
Maybe they were
going
to do the crack and they're like, damn it, Seattle already has it.
Make homemade t-shirts right now.
What about the Swamp Monsters? I'd go for that all day.
The Swamp.
Swamp Monsters.
The Washington Swamp. And I like that when a team is not pluralized, like the Utah Jazz.
Well, the Kraken.
Yeah, the Kraken. Yeah. So like Washington the Swamp. Kraken.
What about Swamp Ass? That time
Washington
of year.
Washington Swamp Ass. The Washington Swamp Ass.
Swamp Ass.
And I'm pissed off at it.
I love the fact that, Mike, even though you have not lived in Washington for as many years as you've been gone, you still hate the team. I think that's lovely. You really take it with you. It's awesome.
I don't hate the team. I love the players. They're players that are dear friends of mine. Mark Rippon, Joe Theismann, John Riggins. These are people I have partied with that I have known all my life. I will tell you that. But the management, when it came in with Dan Snyder...
Yeah.
Things the organization changed.
Yeah.
And there were 40-year-old employees that there were people that have been there for 35 years that were dumped summarily by him. And he brought in these douches. And he's done it forever. Not the coaches, but just the people that were the administrators. Mm-hmm. Who was that guy? Was it Vinny Serrato?
Yeah.
Is that the guy that he brought in? That nad that came in with that? And they were mean to people. They were mean to you. They abused you.
Oh, they abused me. I will say this.
You know it better. Speak up, boy. You know it better as far as how... What we
couple
you can
great things.
Speak to the attitude.
They brought me in once. There was a one-time thing to announce the pregame. Not the... Everything up to when the game started. I do the pregame festivities, bring the players out, all this stuff. It was a really fun gig. I did it once. It went very well. I hit it off with the on-field producer. They said, would you like to do this from now on? I said, yeah. But they did not pay me. And I would have been okay with that because you know what? It was a high-profile gig and it was a lot of fun. And I got to go to a football game eight times a season. But they made me pay for parking.
But you got to stay and watch the game, right?
Yeah, so I got no tickets. I got passes, and then they would clear me. But I could walk the stadium and find a
seat.
They
didn't pay you to do that?
No money, and I had to pay for parking.
God, that is dreadful.
Yeah, it was horrible. And then they kicked me out because they wanted to reinvent the pregame presentation, and they brought in longtime Washington D.C. legend Bruce Kelly. to do the pregame. And then
who?
He's exactly. I think all he right. was on a top 40 station at the time. And his big move was, I think his second or third game, for some reason, I'm thinking it was the Steelers. He says, "Let's hear it for you Pittsburgh fans." And there was a mild cheer. And he went on the sound system, "You suck."
And they love that.
No, well, no. The NFL got wind of that, and he was removed, and I was brought back. So, he was going under the new. Trust me, everything you say in the pregame is scripted. They hand you a clipboard.
But what was the general attitude by all horrible, the muckety horrible. Mucks there?
It was horrible. It was.
Were
one
you
of
ever
fear?
Told specifically if Mr. Snyder was on the phone, on the field, not to make eye contact?
Yeah, I was not allowed to approach him. Also, there was an elevator that served the entire club level, and they said, "You're not to use the elevator." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, that's Mr. Snyder's elevator." One elevator. And it was his.
Yeah,
and
you know, he's the king.
And I wanted to say, how many times does he use it in the course of a game? He goes from the field to his box. That's it.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.